some time now about life, about go eat. And as I get to one end, I will see the another corner, just like you are traveling, you see another corner. Last week, we talked about your wife, your relationship is your best reward on earth. And I went back home, it started getting bigger again and bigger. And I want to establish that because, like Prof said, as you go around with the Lord, you keep seeing, you kept turning. You know, Mary kept turning, So, and as you go on turning, one of these days you turn, and you get to Lagos. Am I right? If you go to Lagos now, you turn. Finally, you turn to Lagos, and you enter there. But that series of turning is where you find what to do. Let me, when I read that verse, let's go read it again. Chapter 9, Ecclesiastes. Is it verse 10? Thereabout that we read. And I want to just give some basis for it. Okay, verse 9. Give us verse 9. Sorry. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Give us an NLT. Then I want to say something that will help us today. And I saw this last during the week. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Now, when I read that verse, don't think that I always understand everything myself. Please bear with me. I'm also a work in progress. Now, as I got to him, I was thinking, best reward. Best reward. And it kept on ringing in my heart. Do you know what I just saw? I just saw that when God made human being, particularly the male, he just put him in the garden. But what was striking to me was that when God made the woman, he took her to the man. Let's go and see Genesis 2, verse 18. Hallelujah. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper corresponding to him. Let's now jump to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Look at next verse. Then the rib the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now, that was, you know, I kept on hearing this. It's like, I'm giving you a charge. I'm giving you this woman. God, when he made man, the male, he didn't give him to anybody. Just put him in the garden. But when he came to, and I just came to see that better civilization, they handle women well. Bad civilizations, they handle women badly. You are given charge as men. I'm coming to talk about men today. You know, was handed over to us. You know, one of the things I saw was that my wife's happiness is my responsibility one way or the other. It's like somebody, you take, when we were growing up, they take us to school. If you are running school over here, you know that the parent put that baby, that child in your charge for the next 8 hours of the day. Am I right? And you will see that that is kept. And that baby doesn't wander away from the gate. Am I right? I mean, if anything happens, you know that's your charge. And when I thought about that, I asked myself, did God give to mankind any other thing else? I noticed that when God made man, he put him in a garden. And that garden was beautiful. It's a giant thing. There are four rivers in the garden, so it can't be a small backyard kind of a thing. And he gave him what to eat. And he gave him a task. So when you look at a man has something, a garden. A man wants to have an abode, a dwelling place. And second, to have a job, a task. In fact, I was thinking about something that bugged me during the week. Paul was talking about covering of the head. He said, man, the male man, is the glory of God. And he said, the woman is the glory of man. That verse used to bug me that, is it inferior or something? The glory of God, man is the glory of God, and the woman is the glory of man. So I was thinking, Lord, what are you talking about here? And for me, it came to me like this. When God made male figure, when he formed the man from the ground, that was his raw glory. That's glory of God in raw form. They call it raw fire sometimes, you know. Glory of God. Now, God now took that man that is his glory and said, I want to show you the glory of the man, so he made the woman. The man is the glory of God. So we can say like this, the glory of God is the woman. The man is the glory of God. But what makes the glory glorious? So God made the woman the refined glory and made the man the raw glory. That's why the man has to be the leader. Because he has the raw fire. Are you hearing me? That's why you see that women are more delicate, am I right? Not only just in their thinking and their feeling, but also in their composition. You know, I mean, when you see a woman coming in the dark, you know it's a woman. That's the way they slow and carry themselves. And when a man is coming, I suffered that for years. I'm used to walking fast. And then my wife, I'll be walking, and then my wife will just stay back at the back there. See, that's the that speciality. It's just there, where are you? At the back. I will go to go and preach in a church. When I get to go with my wife, which I do someone I like, you slow me down. So they come to the car, they tell us to come out, and I pick up my Bible. My mind is on the service. And I come out of the car, I've forgotten I came with a wife. Usually that happens to me a lot of time, till now. So I just go on. Then I stop. Oh boy, you came with your wife now. Now look, she's sitting around the car. She's trying to get her bag out. So I go back. And then we start walking back. And I wonder, why are you always slow? I'm the refine. Refine. One of the things I said last week was that the woman being given permission by the man. I wonder why women look for permission. They can do that on their own. They still come to you and talk you into it. Am I right? They can do it on their own. But you see, we were given charge over them. And Rapita, you remember when we came to come and meet the husbands, talk about one son that I'm talking about today. I was asking myself, as a man, can I find a picture of my life when I was growing up? Can I have a picture of a man? Can I have a standard? When I was in secondary school, they gave us WAHEC syllabus, am I right? As the standard to use. So when I got to around Form 4, I went to school of Form 4, not GSS. You know, Form 3. I started saying that what will happen in WAHEC is not what we are doing in the class. What will happen in WAHEC is what is in the syllabus. So I started going around with the syllabus, and I was just a rascal. When I enter a class, I'll check the syllabus. If it's not in the syllabus, I will not listen. I've come to the school a problem. So is there any syllabus for us men? One day I discovered that syllabus. It was such a blessing to me. Is there any kind of North Star we can look at and go after as a man that you can say, let me look toward that? Of course, women have it in what they call virtuous woman at the first Proverbs. And one day I just opened my Bible. I think I was in medical school. I was not very sure now. And I saw this particular chapter in the Bible, and I was shocked because I thought it was not in the Bible before. Somebody put it there overnight. Honestly. And that's Psalm 112. Give us an NKJV. Take a look. This is the standard that if the devil comes at us and wonder about our life, what are we going to, as every man here, you want to have something you are looking up to, like your wife is looking up to you. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Let's read everything. Who delights greatly in his commandment. Let's keep on reading. His descendant will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Let's keep on reading. A good man deals graciously and learns. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of bad news or evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His own will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see this standard of a man and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So there is a desire of the devil for every man. That's also the standard of God for us. And there's this beautiful verse in the book of Isaiah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard. Hallelujah. And to me, this Psalm 112 is the standard that a man should raise in the midst of all difficulties and troubles of life. If you look at verse 1, set the pace. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. 31st Proverbs talk about the virtuous woman, the blessed woman. But this place, every man here, I'd like you to listen. Every woman here who loves the man, please listen. For your child, for your daughter, for your husband, this is God's standard for men, the male figure. He said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandment. That is the foundational truth of what makes a man. When God came to the garden, when he made man and put him in the garden, he gave him charge. Do not eat this. So commandment has to do with men. Men don't listen to feeling well. You know, you can feel, you know, the one who hear, yes, sir. My mother used to call me. They call, Tunde. No, they don't call me Tunde. They call me Joshua. You know, Joshua. You know, I grew up like that. Mama say, Joshua. Don't call me that. Mm-hmm. Some friends will say, oh, Joshua. You know. My mother say, Joshua. I will not answer. Joshua. I don't know. Well, I can't tell Lord Joe. That is say, Joe. Before I say, sure, I'm about to get up. You know, that this is the command by men. Now, listen to me. If a man does not have somebody he's fearing, it's a failure. Now, the world has designed all kinds of methods for who to fear. Accountability partner, mentor, coach, other names. Those things work well for women. It doesn't work well for men. You know, you go to your accountability partner. You know you have your own ego too. What did you do yesterday? Inside of you, say, none of your business. That's a man. You see, as a lion, you are the king of the jungle. Now, who will lion fear? So I came to see that the man who is going to be that great standard man, he must fear the Lord. You must have somebody you quake before. Somebody said, that fear doesn't mean being afraid. Let me tell you, for men, it means being afraid. Joseph said, I fear God. Well, you know, when you are afraid, all of us know that when we are growing up in our house, we fear daddy. Am I right? Oh, we love daddy, you, but some things we don't do with daddy. I got a lady evangelist who told me this. The woman was very, very active. She's very tough. She's like a man. She runs a ministry. Her husband is very quiet. I don't carry her around. So you know that the stronger person is the woman. But in the house, her children will go and buy her something and pocket the change. She will put drinks on the table. The kids will come and take it. He said, but their father, that quiet man, if he send them one another, they bring all the changes back. If he left coke not finishing on the table, he will say, why do you drink my own, not your mom, daddy's own? Daddy's. There's something about God putting fear in men. And if you are not careful, you become the Nebuchadnezzar. The fundamental issue with men is who are you afraid of? So number one, God showed me that, look here, I want you to fear me. I want you to respect me. I want you to put premium on me and what I say to you. Now anybody else, you may put them on the same level with you. But I'm your fear. In fact, Laban called God the fear of Isaac. He said, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. Isaac has somebody to fear. Ladies here, threaten your husband. I'm going to report you to God. I'm going to report you to God. Hallelujah. You know, I've always thought about this, that who women report God, who women report their husband to? It's a tyrant anyway. You report to God. That's why Esther said, I'll go and pray and fast about this. You know, sometimes when a man set his way, women can't change it. She can cry, she can weep. You just say, bit alone here. Monique could deal with. Huh? You wonder whether it's a demon. It's called ego. It's in there. So number one, fear the Lord. Second, now something he said that really blessed me. He didn't say, who keeps his commandment? He said, who delights greatly in his commandment. If you are a man here, and your pleasure has not been set around God's word, you're not fully a man. You know, Jesus, as a male, being tempted by the devil, he stood in the wilderness 40 days hungry. The devil said, turn this stone to bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As a man, your Bible should be your constant close companion, where you delight. Not just, you know, I noticed something today. The failure of the church today in our country is the failure of men of God not referring us to the word of God. They put so much premium on fathers, but there is a heavenly father whose commandment must be obeyed even by the pastor and the GO. Who does he fear? And where is his delight? Many of us have different things we like. I like Amala. I call it Ibadan one. That is with mixed together. Abula. Praise God. If not, God help me, I'll eat Amala in the morning, Amala in the afternoon, Amala in the evening. Some of you, it's rice and dodo. Some of you, it's Benz. Like my driver, Panderiam, is from Benway Street. You can eat Panderiam morning, afternoon, evening. But where can you, can somebody say, I know what he delights in, the word of God? John G. Lake, that great man of God, said, I know a man by the way he handles his Bible. He delights. Not that like I just read it dutifully and then we are. No, no. There's something about you that just resonates with the word of God. That like, look at what said, I've never considered myself well-dressed until I have a Bible with me. Not because he's a minister, but as a reference to him. As a reference. Now, when you do this, number one, that's your duty. Your standard you should aim at. What will happen to you? Look at next verse. Your children, his descendant will be mighty on earth. So God has already told you, in the standard I have for you, your children will be mighty on earth. Give us an NLT. I love NLT the way it says this. What is it? He says, quickly, NLT. Their children, woo, will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Women, aren't we looking for that? We are very proud when our children do well, am I right? And he says, if you have this standard, your children are automatic success. They may look like they are failing now, or they are struggling. They will come out of it. Their real mode, their operating window is success. Praise God, somebody. Oh, they may stumble like Jacob stumbled around. Like, you may go to work and then they change his salary 10 times. But you can be very sure of this. If you're a man that is working with the Lord, you fear God, delight in his commandment, your children will turn out right. They will walk with God at the end of the day. If you do what you're supposed to do. He said, an entire generation of the godly people will be blessed. Let's look at next verse. And that's in NLT. They themselves will be wealthy. And their goodness will last forever. Give us an NKJV. I love this verse. That's why, forgive me, I like myself. You know, I read that myself. Wealth and riches will be in his house. I like this chapter. I like this verse. I like this passage. I like to have money. How about you? You know, there's something about daddy. Daddy owned that. You feel like a man when you can take care of everything. Huh? Nothing makes a man so sad when he's looking, can't find money. Sorry, maybe you're not like me. Hallelujah. Money resonate with any man. Praise God. And God said over here, your standard is that poverty will not be your portion. Wealth and riches will be in his house, not in just in the bank. His house will be a house that's wealthy. His life will be a wealthy life. And his righteousness. And see that word righteousness is used for act of charity. What do I say? Act of charity. That's what maintains his wealth. Look at it in NLT. NLT, quickly. It says this. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. There's something about it. I came to see that you cannot do so much good if you are not wealthy. For instance, the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite passed by. I guess they walk all through. Where would they put the guy that was half wounded, bleeding? The Bible said, here came Samaritan on his beast. Am I right? Am I right? There was a Benz called Beast. And he came with his beast and he had compassion. Compassion is costly. And he stopped. He took wine and oil. Where did he get it from? It must be in his load. Am I right? And he put the man on the donkey or on the beast. And he carried him to a hotel. It cost money, brother. You know? And when he put him there, they took care of him. He said, whatever, he put money down. He said, whatever, I'm going to go and walk and I come back again. That's why it's a travesty. It's tragic to see a man that is wealthy and selfish. To his family, primarily, and to the world around him, secondly. Good deeds start from home. Charity begins at home. You can't be helping everybody and then neglect your wife and children. That's a hypocrisy. Praise the Lord, somebody. Let's look at the next verse quickly. Our time is running. Just imagine this. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous. They are compassionate. They are righteous. When I was born, every of these things, they are not in my life. I wasn't generous. I wasn't compassionate. I was born wicked. I was born Ivory Coast, where I would talk my brothers to spend their own money, not mine. So I saw that that's a standard for my character in life as a man. I must begin to live a life of generosity, compassion, and righteousness. That's our standard as a man. Is there anyone sitting beside you? Tell him, you are generous, you are compassionate, and you are righteous. If he says no, tell him, I'm believing God. You see, I love that first part. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. That means no matter how dark it is, light will break through for you. You know the meaning? There's something about a family, the head of the family. When something just happens at home, an issue occur, I just stand up and give credible answer. I've seen my wife sometimes when things happen, and I act one way, she will fall on her knees and say, thank you, my dear. And over the years, she's come to trust my judgment. And my judgment, basically, light will shine. In my younger days, I will act, you know, just from my instincts. But as I grew older, I came to see that there's light. Praise God, somebody. And no matter what it is, that song we sing, God is good all the time. Even in the darkest night, his light will... Look, as the husband at home, you must always look forward to the good. Oh, there'll be darkness coming to our home. There'll be issues at work. There'll be troubles sometimes. But as a man, you must be like the captain of the house and say, let's believe God. Let's trust God. It's not palatable for a woman to be always encouraging her husband and to get up and do something. It's not fair. Give her some break. She needs your encouragement. Mother, you need her own. You should be able to be there like Paul. I believe God. Praise God, somebody. Sometimes, yes, some years ago, my wife said to me, she looked at her wardrobe and she said, dear, I don't seem to have good clothes. I would have had that with a bad sense that, so kill over, give me seven. And I used to do. I look at her, I said, just give me time. Huh? You know, your wife sometimes, when she says things to you, she says, kluto rurubai. She's waiting for leadership from you. Ah! Those days, you say, oh, what are we going to do? Can we back? I said, bumut vero. Come on, say, bye, you know, can you go? Then I have a new way of saying it now. The Lord will provide. So you can't argue with that one. And the Lord usually provide indeed. Amen. One time, she wanted a pair of shoes, and I couldn't get it for her. Finally, she got two pairs of shoes because she prayed. She prayed, and somebody gave her two pairs of shoes. I said, dear, I think she'll be praying more. He said, that's your responsibility. Generous, compassionate. I want to beg men over here, take this psalm for the whole week. Just read through it. Our time is gone. Let's look at next verse quickly. Good comes to those who lend money generously and condone that. Let's read this one in NKJV. I want to show you something there. NKJV, thank you. A good man deals graciously and lends. Wow. I told myself, Emike, actually, the lending institution, as far as God is concerned, it's not the bank. Of course, the bank can be there. But when a good man has reputation, he can get any loan he wants. Remember that person you told me about? That man that was looking for money, went to Patrick Tommy. He wanted to start a fintech or something, some kind of bank institution. Huh? A mortgage bank. And this guy needed money. And he went to Patrick Tommy. Patrick Tommy said, I'm going to stand for him. And he gave him how much? About 200 million or something like that. Yeah. That's why you have a name. Praise God. That's why as a man, you must learn to keep your obligations. You must not be owing people. When you say you're going to pay December 15th, by 10th of December, you know the money is not coming. I beg you. You should say, Ore, kuti yoma binu, sekin dobale. And you will save a whole lot of reputation for yourself than just start dodging by 28th and don't pick the call. You are sealing the fate of future, even of your children. Because sometimes it may be an issue that the help will not come because of your reputation. Hallelujah. He will guide his affairs with discretion. As a man, in the standard of God, God wants you and has given you the capacity to handle your life with a divine smartness. There's something about David. That David, Bible says, he behaved wisely in all his affairs. Can we trust God as men? Lord, help me to behave wisely in all affairs. Women, pray for us. Help men to behave wisely in all their affairs. Help them to behave wisely in time of triumph, in time of temptation. Help, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands down. Let's just read from here in Message Bible now. I just want to close with Message Bible. I don't have much more time. Give us from this verse, Message Bible. Can you? The good person is generous. That's the man. And he lends lavishly. Wow. That's the picture of a standard of a man. Next verse. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one. Wow. No stumbling. No shuffling. But a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, one of my teachers just went to be with the Lord a couple of days ago, Jerry Savelle. His daughters, he had two daughters. They came at the night of celebration of his life. And the two girls were saying, our dad is like this. They were in their 50s. Was he giving them money? He said he went to their house. One window was bad. They didn't have, the other things they are doing, remodeling. He said, okay. He said, daughter, that window, I will give you as your bad day. And the girl said, daddy, it is May. My bad day is December. Just looking for a way to do good. Something they said about him. He said, the daughter, I think the younger one had some problem. Maybe I don't know whether it's marital. And she came home and said, dad, I'm just tired. I can't take it anymore. He said, my dad said, one thing about the Savelles, they are not quitters. You know what? Your family needs that more than anything else. Don't take it. Your parenting is just starting after they leave home. You want to just let me just start warning you now. The re-parenting, all those ones that go to school, they will start calling you about what happened at work. They start looking for your experience. And, you know, one guy came, you know, trying to be around us. So he came to say, can I come and see you? His dad, I don't know where he is. He entered the house. I started talking to him. He said, can I come back? They want to, you know, you have wisdom. They don't have wisdom at work. They have money. You have experience, both the bad and the good and the ugly. Am I right? So it's just starting. Let's look at next verse quickly. My time is really, really, really quiet. I can use this thing. Unfazed by rumor and gossip. Ready, trusting in God. Rumors and gossip. Don't face them. Say, not be afraid of evil tidings. Trusting in God. Next verse, quickly, let's read it through. Spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. Woo, clap your hands for that solid man. Praise God. I mean, you enter where everybody hates you. You say, hello, good morning, God bless you. Not the devil will kill you. Let's keep on reading. Our time is up. They lavish gifts on the poor. A generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life, a beautiful life. Let's keep on reading. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away but ends up speechless. There is nothing to the dreams of the wicked, nothing. Nothing. He's set on his way, on a pilgrimage. He's going to be like his heavenly father. Praise God, somebody. So men here, let's put this as our standard. Let's start adjusting our life and resetting to meet this kind of a thing. Please, this is the time, like I told you, when you hit your midlife, God is giving you a chance to rework on your life. And to, you are born genetic and you are raised in an environment. Call it GE, genetics and environment. It's deep genetics. But now you have been given a choice to bring a human sovereign choice in. You are now given a chance to be like God, where your environment and genetic won't determine who you are. But you can say, I am that I am. I'm the one who fears God. I'm the one who delights greatly. Let's read that together before we close, before the choir will sing. Can we read? I want all men to read this, please, for me. Give us NKJV from verse 1 again. I want all men to read and Any man lover over here, read along with us. Let's go, man. Let's read. Blessed, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandment. Mm-hmm. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches. Can you make it personal? Wealth and riches will be in my house, and my righteousness endures forever. Let's go on. Unto me, there arises light in the darkness. I am gracious, full of compassion and righteous. I will deal graciously and lend. I will guide my affairs with discretion. I will never be shaken. I will be in everlasting remembrance. I will not be afraid of evil tidings, bad news. My heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. My heart is established. I will not be afraid until I see my desire upon my enemies. I have dispersed abroad. I have given to the poor. My righteousness endures forever. And my horn, my strength, will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it all beautiful thing and be grieved. It will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Praise the Lord. That's your husband. That's your son. Praise God. That's your brother. Keep that standard before your eyes. And even when they mess up, tell him, I believe that you can still rise up. That's why Micah said, my enemy, don't rejoice over me. If I fall, I will arise. And if I'm in the dark, light will spring up for me. Men, don't ever give up, no matter what. Your family needs you. Your nation needs you. Much more, your God needs you. Let's close our eyes and just give thanks to the Lord. Let's thank God. God, thank you for putting this standard before me as a man. Thank you, Father, putting this before my husband. Thank you for this standard given to us. And we will live it out. Practicalize in our day-to-day affairs. Thank you for your spirit, Father, that is making us to accomplish all this in our lives. because it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Oh, thank you, Father God. We give you glory and honor. We exalt you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before they sing, tonight is men's meeting on Zoom. 6 o'clock, you will have seen the link.